2026 Decoding Aggression and Reactivity Summit, created by my friend Ness Jones, launches April the 19th and 20th. She's brought together more than 10 professionals from around the world, myself included, to help you understand what's really going on underneath aggression and reactivity, and how to support your dog in a way that actually creates change. You'll get access to over 12 hours of education, real-world application, and conversations that go far beyond surface-level training advice. Plus, you receive a workbook and a gift from each of the speakers. For $47, you can't find that anywhere. Check the link in the show notes or go to dogspeak101.com to our event page to find our special link. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks. Hope you're having a wonderful week. Hope you've enjoyed the Super Bowl. You're enjoying the Olympics. I hope you're having nice weather because we are finally having good weather. No big announcements today. I'm going to be speaking at a summit in April, so stay tuned for information on that. It will be on trauma and stress. And I am working on the second version or the second rewrite of the book Chronic Stress in Dogs, and excited about that. So please keep an eye out for more information on those coming out. And if you're not following us on social media or signed up for our newsletter, please do so. You get a lot of really good information. And oftentimes I give out good coupon codes for our online content so that you can learn at your own pace at home. And if you've not done our dog communication webinar, highly recommend, if you're going to spend any money on your dog to learn more about the relationship with your dog, you need to have the communication. Don't waste your money on obedience training. Communication. You need to learn how dogs communicate to avoid conflict. You need to be able to communicate clearly with your dog. That's how we develop a real trusting relationship, because relationships have to start with communication and trust. And if you don't have those two, you're going to have a hard time having the relationship that you want. So that's my first big piece of advice. Second piece of advice is for you as a human. You need to learn right here, right now. Right here, right now. I have really been trying to learn, and I'm getting so much better. Right here, right now. Not thinking about what happened yesterday. Not thinking about what I need to do this evening or what could happen later this week. Nope. Right here, right now. And I really want you guys to learn to be right here, right now. Right here, right now when you're sitting across from your partner. Right here, right now when you're sitting across from your child. Right here, right now when you're hanging out with your dog. Right here, right now when you're sitting with your mother over lunch. Right here, right now. Get the phones out of your face. Stop watching a live event through the lens of your phone so you can record it. Right here, right now. Pay attention. Pay attention to what's in front of you. That's all you have is right here, right now. That's all you're guaranteed. Right here, right now. And I'm passionate about it because as I'm working through my book on chronic stress in dogs, I'm about to add a new section. And I'm adding this section based off my mother not doing right here, right now, and having chronic stress and not dealing with it. And it took her from us. And I don't want that to happen to you guys. I want you to enjoy every second of your life and enjoy those that are in your life. Whether it's right now or, you know, they are going to be in it forever, right? But right here, right now is all that matters. We picked up a pizza the other night and I was sitting there waiting for it. And the number of people that were sitting at tables with phones in their face, whether it be an older couple, parents with children, young kids, those phones are in everyone's face. And that's, it's something we really need to try to get away from. Right here, right now. Your dog wants you to be right here, right now with them. right here, right now. Spend time with your dog. It will do you some good if you just let go of everything else. Right here, right now. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Right here, right now. And tell yourself that all day. When I start to feel myself thinking about my what ifs with my mother, I could easily get into a spiral to where my anxiety is going to kick up, depression is going to kick in, and then I'm just going to be useless the rest of the day. I don't want to do that, because right here, right now is what I have. Right here, right now, I have the ability to teach you guys on being better pet owners and hopefully being better humans to yourself and to those around you. And learning that you are important. You are important enough to take care of. You are important enough to meet your needs. You are important enough to do the things that bring you joy. You are important enough. You. Right here, right now. And that's my soapbox. And now we're going to move on to the topic of the day. Now, this topic is not one I've talked about very often. I don't talk to clients about it. But I thought, you know what? I really want to bring this up and I want to have a conversation. It may not flow as well as most of my episodes, I believe, flow. Okay. This might be a little clunky because I don't talk about it often. But I do think it's some information that would be very useful for pet owners, especially when we think our pets are having specific behavior issues. You've heard me talk about genetics and what those genetics are going to drive your dog to do. And this is a part of that, but this is going to be a specific aspect of the genetics and something that every dog has, but not every dog works it in the same way, based on genetics, based on environment, based on learning history. And so predatory motor action patterns is what we're going to talk about today. So this is going to be discussing prey drive. That's the best way to put it, right? We talk about prey drive and how certain dogs have high prey drive, certain dogs don't. But here's the thing, is every dog has a predatory sequence that they follow, and some of those behaviors are very strong and some of those behaviors are muted depending on the breed. Let's start out talking about the predatory motor sequence first and help you to understand what it means when I say predatory motor action pattern. Now, it's predatory motor patterns in dogs. They're instinctive sequences of behaviors that reflect their evolutionary hunting skills. And there are different stages that dogs will go through. But not every dog, not every breed is going to go through it the same way. Now, these patterns are complex reflexive behaviors. They can be triggered by specific stimuli in the environment depending on the dog. Now, the full sequence of predatory motor patterns typically include orient, which is the dog scans the environment for potential prey using either eyes, nose, so your scent hounds are going to be focused more on their nose, sight hounds, their eyes. The next step is eye. This is the dog focuses on the prey, preparing to stalk it, which is the third step. The dog approaches the prey very stealthily to avoid detection. You probably have seen this behavior occur in play. And these things can come out in play because they're very natural. Then we have our fourth is chase. This is where the dog pursues the prey. Step five is grab, bite. This is where the dog actually captures the prey. And then sixth is kill, bite. The dog delivers a fatal bite to the prey, and then they dissect, where the dog begins to tear apart the prey, and then consume, where they eat the prey. So if we break it down, you have your orient, eye, stalk, chase, grab, bite, kill, bite, dissect, and consume. Now, there are many variations depending on the breed. Like I said, some behaviors will be much stronger in certain breeds, and some behaviors will be much more muted in breeds. So, like a grab bite, kill bite, that's going to be fairly muted in, say, livestock guardian breeds, because they're mostly about the protection aspect. So that orient, right, that orient of scanning the environment for potential threats. And then they may eye something, they may stalk, they may have to chase. If, say, a fox gets into, you know, the pen with the sheep. And then you might get that grab bite, kill bite. So we're going to break down a few of the breed groupings. I'm not going to go into all of them, but I do want to go into a few of the ones that tend to be a little bit more popular in the United States and break those down on how what you're seeing is natural and how it can come up as a behavior concern and how we can give that dog an outlet for that. Now, when we are looking at the different dog breeds, the grouping, they do exhibit the variations, and it's going to be based on their original purpose. So if you're looking at, say, your herding breeds, like Border Collies, they're going to have a much bigger chase stage, and they're going to be muting that kill-bite stage because their role is to control the livestock, not to hunt them down and kill them. Your retrievers, such as your labs, they are bred to carry and retrieve the game. So they're focusing more on the grab bite stage while minimizing that kill bite because they want to have a soft mouth. They're bringing that back to their human. They don't want to cause any more damage. So they are supposed to have a softer mouth. So you have that grab bite, but not the kill bite. Your terriers are emphasizing that kill bite because they were bred to kill as many rodents as possible, as quickly as possible. So it was about kill bite, kill bite, kill bite. When we're understanding these predatory motor patterns, we can start to recognize that some of the behaviors that we see that may look scary, that may look like a behavioral concern, we can understand it as just natural instincts. And if our dog has those natural instincts, we need to find ways to meet those needs. Because most people are not hunting with their dogs. Most people are not working their dogs on a farm, at least not here in the United States. Do we have some? Absolutely. But it's very minimal compared to, I'm sure, other countries that are still using dogs as they were intended to be used, to work alongside the human, whether it is to kill rodents, whether it's to, guard sheep or, herd them up into a specific area, which is also to keep them safe. But then you have your sight hounds, your scent hounds. Those definitely have some different patterns that they are going to be more specific to. So if we break down and we talk about, these specific motor patterns in the predatory sequence, they can come out at any time. They can come out during play. They can come out just instinctually because there's a squirrel in the backyard. They can come out when you are playing ball with your dog, right? So that's giving you the chase. You may get your dog who chases something and stalks it, and they're just trying to use what is very natural for them. If we can understand what that is, we can help meet those needs, therefore creating a better life for our dog, right? So this isn't about stopping the behavior. It's about understanding where it's coming from and understanding that we have a job to make sure we meet our dog's needs. That's just the bottom line. Right? They are captive animals. They are depending on us to meet those needs. And instead of us always focused on fixing behavior, suppressing behavior, we need to understand what we're getting And we need to respect that in our dogs, and we need to give them those outlets for that. I would venture to say that in my experience, the majority of complaints that I get from active behavior that people don't like, it's natural behavior for dogs. Yes, I deal with a lot of anxiety and a lot of trauma, but I deal a lot with anxiety because dogs aren't getting their needs met. That owners are focused way too much on obedience. And I've talked for years and years and years about stop focusing on obedience. Sit, stay, down, come, heel does not make a good dog. It does not. All right, we've got to start focusing more on who the dog is and what the dog truly needs, not what we think the dog needs, right? We may think the dog needs obedience training, but what the dog truly needs is empathy, understanding, and an outlet along with agency over who they are and what they do, what they like, how they play, instead of being forced into doing things because we think that's what they need. When dogs don't get an opportunity to do what is natural, they're going to get frustrated, right? They're going to get frustrated. They're going to start exhibiting behavior that is out of frustration, chewing, digging in areas they're not supposed to, jumping more, mouthing more, doing the things that they are genetically bred to do. But they're going to be doing it in times that are not good for you, and they're probably not good for them. And that's why we need to focus more on who they are as individuals and who they are genetically, because the genetics really make a difference. Let's start with our herding breed. They just seem to be one of the most common breeds, and break down the breed-specific predatory profiles. Your herding breeds, they're going to have a much more amplified eye stalk component because of their job. They're going to have a muted growl bite and kill bite. Yes, they are mouthy. They're going to use their teeth and nipping heels, but it's not about grabbing and biting or kill bite. It's about just moving using the mouth. They will have a very low threshold for movement stimuli, so any of that movement is going to trigger the predatory motor action pattern. So that's the stimulus that's going to turn it on. And this is from all herding breeds. Doesn't matter how cute they are, how small they are, herding breeds. So if they have a movement, that's going to automatically turn on the predatory motor action pattern. We can teach some incompatible behaviors for that so that we don't have a dog running after a bicycle. However, we have to give that dog an opportunity to use those skills in a way that is safe and is still meeting the need of the dog. We'll talk a little bit later about what that looks like. Terriers. Terriers, full sequence intact, intensified. Terriers are psychotic. I love them. They are so full of personality, but they are, I think a lot of people get these small dogs and thinking they're just cute little dogs and it's going to be great. We can put them in a little backpack and carry them around. But these terriers were bred for shake and kill behavior. They have high arousal. They are very quick to escalate. They go 0 to 60 in a very, very, very short period of time. They have a very low threshold for small, fast-moving stimuli because it's what they were bred to do. They were used in the trenches to kill as many rats as quickly as possible. And so that's why you see dogs like Jack Russells. Yeah, they're cute and they're full of it, but they're not meant for everyone. Border Terriers, not meant for everyone. Yorkies. You know, people get Yorkies and they want to put a little dress on them and put a little bow in their hair. Yorkshire Terriers were bred for shake and kill behavior. high arousal, rapid escalation, and low threshold for small, fast-moving stimuli. We have to start respecting these dogs for who they are. Your sighthounds. Now, your sighthounds, they're going to have a much greater orient eye chase sequence. They're using that eyesight. Their visual motion, any visual motion will trigger over a scent. So our scent hounds are going to really focus on the odor from their nose. Sighthounds are using the eyes, so just what you're hearing. They have an extreme chase drive. And they're quick, right? So, of course, you're thinking greyhounds, whippets. You don't see a lot of those just around in the United States, at least not where I am. Italian greyhounds, I've seen quite a few, but you don't get very many. I probably have seen a handful of whippets in my 30 years here in Tennessee. But sighthounds, again, you're getting these dogs and wonder, you know, why they killed a rabbit or a cat, right? Or even a small dog, because that movement is going to trigger it and they're in it. And once it's turned on, the action pattern has to occur. And people say, well, isn't this then why we need to use like shock collars so we can stop them? Because how are we going to stop them if they're chasing? Well, it requires work, but it also requires giving them an outlet elsewhere. I think one of the main issues we have with people that are using like shock collars and e-collars is they want to stop these behaviors from happening, but they don't want to give the dog an outlet elsewhere. And that's abusive. That's abusive. And we need to respect who these animals are and keep them safe. Right? If I have a sighthound and I know I don't have the control over them, I'm not going to let them off leash in an area where it can be dangerous. It's common sense. I'm not going to put a shock collar on the dog so that I can do things that's more convenient for me. No, if I have a greyhound, I'm not going to put a shock collar on the dog to keep it from chasing a small squirrel. No, I'm going to give it opportunities to go run in a big field that maybe is fenced in for safety purposes, but I'm going to give them that opportunity to run and chase something, whatever that looks like. Suppressing behavior that they're bred to do is just cruel. But most of my listeners don't need to hear that. Most of my listeners, you know that we don't do that here. We don't need to do that here. Scent hounds. Now, scent hounds are about orient, and they're orienting with that nose. So they're really focused more on the scent that they're searching for. They're going to be much slower because that scent's going to work a little differently. It's going to be very methodical. When you get your beagles, your bloodhounds, your coonhounds, these dogs are hunting dogs. And their nose is, to me, I think scent hounds are going to be more challenging than sighthounds. Because I think you can control visual much better than you can control the odor. That nose is going to be working all the time. And so scent hounds, they are on it. And it is a very strong pattern that's been created because these dogs are still being used for hunting. Right? We're not getting just pets. So if we look at like the Yorkie, if I go back to the terrier, Yorkies are not being bred to hunt, but yet they still have that genetic predisposition. Over the next probably 10, 15, 20 years, you're probably going to see a Yorkie who doesn't even resemble terrier behavior anymore. But right now, they still have, it may not be as strong as, say, the Border Collie. Or the Jack Russell. But it's still there. Your Beagles and Bloodhounds, it's going to be decades before we're able to take that, you know, or mute that a little bit. We don't want to mute it, though. We just need to understand that if we're going to have these dogs, we have to make sure we're meeting those needs. our retrievers, their grab bite is going to be modified because they're supposed to have that soft mouth. They were bred to bring back the game that the hunter killed, and without destroying the body, because they were going to be eating it. Sorry, I just hit my mic. There's a suppressed kill bite, so they're a lot less likely to grab and bite as hard as, say, a terrier. They are bred to chase and retrieve, but without that destruction. And they were absolutely bred to work alongside that handler. So they weren't meant to just go out and work themselves. They were meant to work alongside, like the herding dog. Now, our livestock guardian breed, that's another one that they're being kept as pets a lot. And we're getting a lot of behavioral complaints about them. And I have to ask people, what were you thinking when you got a livestock guardian breed? What did you think you were going to get? I mean, they were bred to not live in the house with you. They were bred to not listen to you. They were bred to not be a part of you. They were bred to protect your livestock. So they have a much more suppressed predatory sequence because they're not meant to hurt the livestock. They are meant to protect the livestock. However, they do have an intact sequence toward predators. They know when to turn it on and when to turn it off. I mean, they have an overall lower prey drive anyway because they're not out searching for prey. They're there to protect the livestock so that if a wolf or fox, coyotes are coming close to that livestock, then they are going to step up and do what they need to do, whether that be a chase, kill bite. But they're not going to look for it. So genetically, you have to understand that there are individual strengths and weaknesses within the breeds when we're talking about predatory motor action patterns. So some of those behaviors are strong, some are muted. And it's, again, all depends on the genetics. But it's also going to depend a lot on the individual factors of the dog, right? So if you have a dog who, you know, has pain when he moves, he's not going to be able to chase as much, right? So the pain's going to limit that movement or chaseability, which is, again, going to rewire the brain and create a pathway that the dog doesn't understand. A dog understands the pathway of chase. It's there. And the more they practice it, the bigger the pathway gets. It becomes a one-lane road, turns into a four-lane highway. But then if we don't have an opportunity to do it, that frustration is going to kick in. And then we start losing that pathway and trying to find another pathway forward. And that can create a lot of frustration with a dog who has this need and desire to do something, but they're unable to do it. Vision changes, hearing changes, that affects issues. Obviously, you have your age-related changes. Energy levels will change with that. If your dog is not physically fit, they're not able to really follow that predatory motor action pattern sequence because they're just overweight and they don't feel good. Obviously, medications. This is why we try to stick to more natural things. But medication can absolutely decrease that arousal and drive in a dog to the detriment of the dog. Okay, because, yeah, it may be more convenient for you, for your dog to be able to walk and not lunge after a bicycle, but we're not just looking at what's more convenient and easier for you. What we want to look at is, what does this dog need? What does this dog need? Yes, it's what you need too, but it's got to be equal to what does the dog need. Your dog's emotional state, if your dog is staying on the edge of fight or flight, if their nervous system is dysregulated, we're going to have a lot of issues with that sequence. And there is a very big difference between a dog who has predation and fear. Those are two different things. And the sequence can really get messed up when there's fear thrown in there. When your dog is stressed and frustrated, that's going to increase the reactivity, decreasing the appropriate following of the sequence. And if your dog doesn't have impulse control, if they are struggling with attention and focus, if they don't know how to problem solve, these are going to be very challenging them for them to be able to disengage from that arousal and follow those commands or those requests that you have. Right? If I don't want my dog chasing the cat, I'm going to make sure that I give them an incompatible behavior to follow. But in order for me to give them an incompatible behavior to follow, I have to do a few things. One, I have to teach what that is, and I have to teach it outside of an arousal moment. So I have to work on it, and I have to practice it. I need to solidify it. But then I also need to make sure my dog has good impulse control. They feel good. They have the nutrients and minerals that they need for their gut and their brain health so that they can recall the behavior I'm asking, so they can reach into that memory, recall the behavior I'm asking for, and be able to be responsive. If I don't do any of those things, then I am going to have a dog who's going to not listen in those moments during that sequence. But see, I'm going to put in the work and do that. And I'm going to put in the work to where I have that control with my dog. And I'm going to have that relationship so I have that control with my dog. And it's not being in control of taking away everything. It's saying, look, I know you want to chase that cat. However, it's not appropriate in this moment. If you'll do this for me, then I will make sure that you get an opportunity to chase something later that you're going to win. So this is where we're going to get into enrichment and meeting those genetic needs. So if we have a dog, say a terrier, who is all about that kill bite, right? Digging in there and finding something and kill bite, then I'm going to make sure I set up games for my terrier to do that. I'm going to use a flirt pole. I'm going to chase it or I'm going to have my dog chase it and let them catch it and kill it. I'm going to give them things to dissect and tear apart. I'm going to give them opportunities to dig. If I have a herding dog, I'm going to give them a herding ball. Or I'm going to teach them to herd that ball into a net. Or maybe I teach them how to herd a remote control car. Or maybe I take that remote control car and I put a toy on the back of it so that my sight hound has something to chase and catch. So when you give them opportunities to do what their genetics are telling them to do, we're going to have a dog who is less likely to do it in inconvenient moments, who is more likely to listen and be responsive to you, who is more likely to have a very nice settled welfare and feeling good in their life and settled and calm and satisfied, right? They're satisfied. And that is the thing, is we need to find ways to take our scent hounds and put them into nose work and scent games, having them hunt for their food and find their food instead of just putting it in a bowl. I know y'all think that just their dog has it made, we just put their food in a bowl and let them eat. That is not what your dog wants. Your dog doesn't want to eat out of a bowl. Your dog wants to eat the way that they were bred to eat. They want to hunt for that food. They want to search for that food. They want to forage. They want to scavenge. They want to do all these fun things. We have to find ways to meet that, whether it's with flirt poles and chase games. Right? Maybe we do lure coursing for sighthounds. I know that that's becoming popular. Barn hunts for these terriers. Retrieval games for your, retrievers. We have to be able to understand that these dogs need this stuff. We've got to stop talking obedience. That's why you don't hear me talk much about how to teach sit and stay. Guys, that's so simple. Those are simple things to do. That's not what this is about. This is about truly you understanding who your dog is and making sure that we are giving them what they need by understanding what they are bred with, what they are born with. You know, what we created thousands of years ago. Now, many people talk about you can't train out genetics, and I'm not asking you to train out genetics. What I'm asking is for you to look at genetics and understand where they're coming from and find a way to meet those needs if your dog so desires. And finding a way that meets the needs that is appropriate for your lifestyle, for your home, for your environment, and giving your dog that outlet. When we are talking prey drive, predatory behavior, and we're talking about aggressive behavior, please understand that those are two different things. Predatory behavior is genetically based. It's there. Aggression is a behavior that is usually coming from another underlying issue. And I say usually from another underlying issue because it's rarely just a wiring issue. Typically, there is an underlying motivator, and a lot of times it is based in fear. And sometimes that aggressive behavior comes out because of pain and frustration, or they have a lack of experience in the environment that they're in. So understand that just because your dog has prey drive doesn't mean they're going to go after your cat or go after your children or go after the children down the street. Yeah, we need to understand that this is all a part of our dogs and that they may chase the kid that's riding the bicycle down the street, but it's not aggressive behavior. It's a natural behavior that this dog is exhibiting, and we need to find a way to give that dog an outlet without scaring the crap out of the kid. And it really comes down to making sure we're meeting our dog's needs through enrichment based on what behavior they absolutely need to express. And when you understand that, it's going to take your relationship into a whole nother world. So look, to sum this up, I've preached it 100 times, but enrichment is crucial, and enrichment is more important than obedience. And if you've not taken that course, well, guess what? If you get the communication webinar, you can have the enrichment over obedience course for free, but you got to have the code. So make sure you sign up on the newsletter or check out the show notes. But look, predatory behavior is normal. Okay, there's nothing wrong with your dog when they are exhibiting this. It's not pathological. It is normal. Every dog has this sequence. There are some behaviors in the sequence that are muted and some that are really strong depending on your dog's genetics. Management is crucial. Understanding what your dog needs is crucial. And making sure you give an outlet for your dog so that everyone stays safe, especially your dog. Right, so those appropriate outlets satisfy natural drives. That needs to be your focus. What are the appropriate outlets that can satisfy your dog's natural drive? What are your dog's natural drives? Well, if you don't know your dog's genetics, I do recommend that you get a DNA test. Or there's the dog key. I'll put that link in the show notes. The dog key, you can go to the dog key and put in your dog's information, and it will give you a really good idea of what your dog is probably genetically made up of. So I'll put that in the show notes. It's a really good resource for that so that you can say, oh, look, my dog has 40% terrier. Okay, then I need to make sure I am meeting those needs. You may not need a DNA test. You may know that your dog exhibits high prey drive using scent because you've watched them. And that's fine too. If that's the case, just know you need to meet that need. Somewhere you need to meet that need. Right? Don't just assume that your dog is just happy-go-lucky because he sits on the couch all day and sleeps all day. Just because he's living the life you want to live doesn't mean it's a good life for him. Dogs don't want to be lazy and eating out of a bowl and sitting on a couch all damn day. No, they need to be outside. They want to be in the grass and the dirt, and they want to chase the birds and bark at the squirrels and play and wrestle and chase and tug and dig and roll in the dirt and sometimes eat poop. We have to respect that. And I think that there are ways that we can give them those outlets in a safe way without feeling the need to suppress behavior or change our dog to make it more convenient for us. And especially what we don't need to do is using aversive tools and techniques to stroke our ego to say, look at that. I have a dog that's going to come to me every time, no matter how high prey drive that dog has. Yeah, it's not cool. Not when you're using pain, punishment, and fear to do it. That's inappropriate. It's inappropriate. And that's what I got today. So I want you to understand that that is all a part of what dogs do. And you need to start understanding the dog you have in front of you. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Look at your dog. Right here, right now. And meet your dog's needs and help them be the best version of themselves while you're learning to be the best version of you. Take care of yourself. Do something for yourself. Surround yourself with people that are supportive. Surround yourself with people that are right here, right now, that are not focused on all the negativity. We can be aware of the negativity in our world. Don't be consumed by it. Use your positivity. Use your love. Use your happiness. Move it forward. Show the world what you can be. But you got to be right here, right now. Take care of yourself. Love yourself enough to take care of yourself so that you can take care of your dog and you can take care of those around you and that you can be the best, biggest badass that you can be. And that's what I wish not only for you guys, but for your dogs. And I want you to have the most amazing relationship with your dog. And if I, you know, I used to say, if I could just change one person, you know what? That's not enough for me. That's not enough for me. There are a lot of people and a lot of dogs, and I want to help them all. I want to help them all. So do me a favor. Please spread the news about this podcast, my business, my online resources. Please rate and review wherever you listen. If you've worked with me privately or personally, please go give us a Google review. But it helps people find us and helps me to help others because I do believe that I have the knowledge to share, to help. And I'm going to continue doing that, but I need your help. I need your help. I want to keep this thing going, so I need your help, guys. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do our Patreon account, $5 a month for the Patreon account. You get some specials over there. You get videos earlier. Sometimes you get special videos that are only for you. I would love to have more people over there, and I would love to have more engagement because I miss seeing you guys face-to-face, and I do get to see people face-to-face, but I want to see you guys. I want to see you guys in Radio Land, right? Wherever you're listening to this podcast, I want to see your faces. I want to see you on a Zoom. I want to chat with you. I want to laugh with you. I want to talk dogs with you. So if you are not following us, be sure you are. And like I said, please rate and review. It really does help our podcast find other dog owners, or at least other dog owners can find our podcast. But I love you guys, and I appreciate you so very much. And I know that things are tough right now all over the world. I know things are tough, and we have listeners all over the world. And just know that I love you, and I right here, right now. I think that's what I got, just right here, right now, in this moment. I love you guys. I appreciate you so very much. Thank you for being a part of the Dog Speak family. And I really can't wait to see some of you guys in person. And I really hope that I get to meet some of you guys this year as we travel around and do speaking engagements. And if you're interested in a speaking engagement, please reach out. I would love to have that discussion with you. So there you go. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. And love your neighbor.